Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that have been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is heard in over 44 countries, such as the U.S., Belgium, India, Canada, France, Australia, Panama, Norway. So thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here, we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight those transformational moments that changed our lives and how we're using these to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us every Wednesday and the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. However, on all the other days, we host special pop-up episodes for amazing people that are having book launches, product launches. They have something coming out, something magnificent is going on, and we want to highlight that person for what they're doing. So if you're listening to us live, thank you so much for joining us on this very, very special episode. You can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, or the Google Play music app. So never miss an episode. And on the show, like I said, are impactful and amazing guests that are impacting lives all around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I have on the show, this is a live show if you're catching us live. So you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. And I am super pumped because this is season 2 already, episode 11, and my buddy Harry Sherwood is joining us. So, bro, what is happening?
Hey, Sean, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Dude, I'm pumped, man. You know, I mean, we're in a speaker group together. You know, we're learning a ton. We're crushing it. Yeah, so this is like an honor, man, to have you, to have, you know, my mastermind brother, man, on the show.
Sir, and an honor to be on the show as well. And it's like you said, we're learning a ton and we're applying, and it's always a great journey to kind of broaden the wings a little bit. So this is fun, having a good time with it.
Absolutely, man. So, man, let's do this. The title of this episode is Living a Life of Wellness with Harry Sherwood. Harry Sherwood, a Southern California native and co-founder of Consciously.org, both an online and in-person wellness startup, inspires audiences locally and globally to lead lives of ever new wonder. Harry's journey to success took a true leap of faith when he left behind the only world he knew in 2010 and went, quote, off to see the wizard. I love that. His quest for discovery, rooted in experience, led him to spend thousands of hours in meditation, to a degree in consciousness studies from the University of Michigan, and to some of the world's finest Shaolin temples and yoga ashrams. As an inspirational speaker, Harry aspires to give his audiences the permission to dream again. He draws upon his time spent traveling the world, living with yogis, monks, and martial arts masters to inspire wonder. Harry has found wellness to be so much more than how often one exercises or what one eats. His many years of research has led him to conclude true health to be the amalgamation of passion, purpose, and conscious lifestyle decisions. Join Harry on his journey down the proverbial rabbit hole. You can go to his website at Consciously, Consciously, consciously.org. Believe it or not, his social media is also Consciously. So Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, all has consciously in there. So I have facebook.com/, you know, consciously community group is one of them. Go to the consciously community group, consciously.org. He's all over the place. He's all over. I mean, as soon as I typed these in, boom, Harry Sherwood popped up, man. And you can connect with him pretty quickly. So, dude, I'm super curious, man. Shaolin temples. How was that?
It was quite an interesting adventure. That's for sure. Especially because before then I was your typical jock partier, football player, high school kid, you know, the one that you'd see in the movies almost. And so going from that to really trying to dial that down and then going off to Shaolin or to China. And so where I was Yuntai, which is flowers outside of Shaolin, and the masters there were Tai Chi. They taught Kung Fu. They taught Sanda, which is kind of like a Chinese kickboxing, and Qigong. And it was wild. It was wild. It was 8 hours a day, every day of training. And it was physically very demanding. And it was just culture shock, just completely different than anything I'd ever experienced.
That's awesome. So I totally love the fact, you know, you spent hours of meditation. I think that, you know, mindfulness is a much needed practice, you know. And so the first question I always ask the guests is why? You know, we got to be mindful of why we're doing the things that we're doing. So my question to you is, what is your why for what you do?
Oh, man. Beautiful question to start off with. Love it. This might take a minute to explain, so I'm going to dive in
okay.
a little bit.
Sure.
But, you know, at the core of things, it really comes down to who am I when I am in a state of expressing my truest self, when I'm expressing that large S self and not my smaller egoic or just my mind itself. And it took a long time to really find that. I think, you know, people ask the question, you know, what's the purpose in life or who are you? That might take months, years to find out, because we essentially, a lot of us grow up in a society that is very, it funnels us into a specific mode of operation. And so I had to literally leave everything I knew behind to step out of that mindset as well, and step out of that habit of being in that mindset. And so over my time meditating, over my time practicing mindfulness and all these different things, I started to realize, like, hey, you know, who I am at my core is that kid. Magic, that believed in anything, that anything was possible. Yeah. And that's what lit me up. And just, I always felt like, hey, I'm here for a purpose. And that purpose has to do with infinite possibility. It has to do with, you know, that's why I have that follow Harry down the rabbit hole type thing. It's like, okay, what is behind the curtain of life? What is the unseen telling us? And along that way, I found that, wait, health has a lot to do with this, and it's a platform to stand on. But my why is the wonder of the question, what if? What if that little kid, that 5-year-old, 10-year-old kid was onto something? What if he didn't just believing in all of these shows? If something out there is possible that science just hasn't. The magic of today is tomorrow's science. And the science of today is yesterday's magic. It's just undiscovered. We're still learning all of the time. And so what does that mean? What does that mean for health, for holistic health, for alternative health, for things on the fringe now, but that could be very mainstream practiced in 50 years? And so that's kind of, that's what drives me. That's my why is, hey, what if all of this could be lived, could be practiced, could be true? And that puts adventure back in my life. That lights me on fire.
I like that, man. Like you said that, so say that science part again. Today's science. What was
today's magic is tomorrow's science, and today's science is yesterday's magic.
That's deep, man. Wow.
Yeah, it really, I think it helps put into perspective. A lot of people think, oh, just magic's not real. Well, there was a lot of stuff that was not real 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, that is today. It's just, you know, we've discovered how the laws of physics work and just different things. It's just what's the next discovery to be had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, tell me how you got to this point, man. I mean, you know, in 2010, you left everything you knew and embarked on this journey. You know, who was Harry before, you know, all that took place? What kind of person was he?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, I think about that a lot because, one, I don't have the best memory in the world. So I always go back. I'm like, so what order did this all really happen in? And someone as a youth, as a young kid, who just was everyone and anything, you know, totally believed in Santa Claus and believed all these things because I didn't have reason not to. It was just someone told me something and I believed it because I think just without knowing it at that point, being a very trusting kid. And then over time, you know, as some people will say, reality set in or the real world set in. And I noticed that those things are not a part of our everyday lives and a part of that kind of the reality here. And so, you know, I didn't crush me or anything, but, you know, there's that internal like, what if it, you know, there's always that like, but it's. And then just over time, that stayed there. And then within my family dynamics, I have a sibling who is what's known as a chronic relapser, and has been in and out of rehabs and just trying to get his feet on solid ground for, I don't know, since he was 14. So almost 20 years now. And that affected me. That affected me in a way of having someone that was older than me that I wanted to look up to. But honestly, the lessons I learned were more of what not to do than what to do. And then, you know, another brother that they were closer in that arena. So they both kind of were in that arena and I was a little too young to get into it. And I'm very thankful for that. So I reached out to peers as my group. I reached out to football and to sport, to buddies as my role models. Because my dad also, he was just a workaholic and wasn't around too much. So I didn't have that male role model in my life that I felt I needed. And, you know, I think a very interesting thought I had a conversation the other day is someone was saying, you know, the problem with education today is that they put peers with peers and they always put the same age groups together. And what that does is that creates just a limited mentality and mindset because they're never really around older people continuously in that growth phase. And so I felt like I was guided by my peers, which was very limited. Beautiful and amazing and brotherhood and all those things, but also limited. And so I started, you know, started drinking at a young age, started doing some drugs.
And then by the time,
and it was, you know, I didn't see it as an escape back then, but it was, and it was just, and I had fun with it. You know, I genuinely had a good time doing it, but I didn't care about school. I cheated more than I actually studied, in high school. And I just, my life was football and party. That was life. But all the while, there was that fire. Wanted to believe in something more. That just felt like I was wasting my life. Just kind of like, what am I doing? I feel like I'm here for so much more. And that pressure built up. Yeah. It kept weighing in on me. So graduated high school. I was going to go to the University of Arizona State or University of Arizona, other big party school with a couple buddies. Had the apartments. Yeah, I was ready to go. And I wound up getting high one night and just went down this just long road of what am I doing with my life? So it actually turned out to be a good thing. And I just second guess, third guess, fourth guess. Like, I'm only doing this to go party more for another 4 years and waste another 4 years. So I actually decided, I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to go to community college and I'm going to get some stuff figured out. And I'm very thankful that I did it.
Yeah.
And like, started doing some martial arts that, and it helped me get me a little bit more in who I was without my old friend group around all the time, because a lot of them left. So I started to see who I was, you know, without that. And that helped. It helped. And it but I kept, like, I still wasn't really honoring that inner voice yet. Until one day I just finally, like, almost just snapped. And I was just, I have to do something. And that's when I, you know, put together the plan to go to China and to go to the ashram in Escondido. And but it was just like this build up of inner pressure based upon the feeling that I was wasting my life and I was wasting my potential. And that just dug at me and dug at me and dug at me.
Interesting, because I felt the same way when I, when I was drinking, you know, man, it's like you sit around and you're like, what am I doing with my life? Like, it's so dumb. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just, I don't know. You just do. It's like, this is so stupid. What am I doing this for? So yeah, man, I totally feel, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And it very much, it felt like I was just moving backwards to the point where I actually had built anxiety around not being productive, which I've since, due to my meditation moments of non-activity, actually to still be very good things. But I would, whenever, you know, I used to sit around and, you know, just to hang with the buddies type thing would drive me nuts, because I just felt like I need to leave. I need to be more productive. And it kind of, I got a little spastic with it. Luckily not any serious anxiety inside of me. And it's just like this inner Harry was shouting to get out. Just shouting to get out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man, I completely agree, man. When I was going through all my crap with drinking and everything else, it was like, man, I there's so much more I could be doing. I know this. I didn't know how, you know what I mean? But so let's talk about that transformational moment. Can you nail down, was it a decision? Was it that high moment? like, what was it that said, you know what? I'm leaving. Like, I'm doing this. And your life was transformed when you made this journey to, like, what was one of the first stops that you made? Pick that transformational moment that was like, if I wouldn't have done this, then my life would be different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I like you said one of the stops, because I could name probably a dozen. And I think it was much more of a staircase than a giant leap. But one of the earlier ones that I think played a big role is that I went to a temple called Self-Realization Fellowship, which was founded by a yogi who came from India in 1920, and then he lived here the rest of his life and passed away in 52. But it's yoga meditation. And my brother, through AA, had found it, and him and my dad went. And there was meditation. It was kind of like church. They believed that all faiths at their core have the same heart. And so they had a picture of Christ. They had a picture of Krishna. They had these yogas on the wall. And they're like, here, you should come and check this out. You know, you might dig this. And I was a little hesitant, but I was like, okay, you know what? I'll try it. And so I immediately walked in, and it had this, there was something about the presence there that was very calm. It was very just relaxing the second I went to the door, but I was still like, what am I doing here? And until I walked in, I saw Jesus at the altar, and I grew up Christian, but I didn't really practice, and it fell away when I was in my teens.
Yep, I know how that is.
It was a familiar face, you know. It was. I recognized it, and the brain's recall was just like, okay, non-threatening familiarity. So I was like, okay, I can do this, you know, cool. Went and sat down, and then so like I said, when I was 5'10", you know, these ages. Guy the monk who comes up and gives the service, white hair, white beard, hair's pulled back, totally looks like a wizard. And I was like, okay, I could definitely get into this. You know, just more things are starting to add up. I'm liking this.
Looks like a wizard.
Yeah, and it was funny. He's in his, I don't know, 70s or 80s. So, and he just, he starts talking about meditation. And he's like, look, you know, 40, 60 years ago, however long he was in my space, he's like, I was sitting there. And I heard this, and I doubted it. But then I, you know, I practiced, and I, and he said, I am not the type of person that would be here if this didn't work. And he says, I'm still right here. So this meditation works. But don't trust me. Prove me wrong. Find out for yourself. And I that hit me. That really hit me. It was kind of like, I have to find out for myself. I'm never going to know the answer to who's inside. I'm never going to know what whose voice that is shouting with me. I'm never going to know if there's something more to I'm the one who finds out for myself. And so that, I think, was one of the biggest, one of the first and biggest moments of, do you accept this challenge, Harry? Are you willing to put in the time and effort into finding out why you didn't go to Arizona and finding out this road that is open to you if you choose to walk down it. So that was an extremely powerful moment.
Love it, man. So talk about, because, like, man, I mean, I'm a mindfulness trainer. I've been doing it, you know, quite a few years. And people, that's how they are, man. They're like, oh, no, I don't need to, you know, close my eyes and, you know, sit in a, you know, cross-legged position. And I was like, it's not, dude, like mindfulness itself, like meditation, that's not all there is to it. You know what I mean? It's like a decluttering, you know what I mean? It's becoming one with everything, you know? You know, what do you see? What do you feel? What do you hear? You know, what are you feeling? You know what I mean? And sometimes we just go about our business and we don't take care of ourselves. Or one of the things that I find a lot is that people don't know why they do something. Like, I don't know. I'm like, you need to get right with your why. You know what I mean? I ask my kids that all the time. Like, why are you doing that? They're like, I don't know. Like, that's the most famous 14-year-old line there is, right? All teenagers are like, I don't know. So,
yeah, that's funny.
So I, like, dude, like, you have to, like, man. So, you know, in my class, I run through a mindfulness exercise, you know, and one of the exercises is, you know, feel you sitting, right? Feel, like, what is, you know, hear what's going on and see with your heart, you know, what is, like, because our mind will start putting pictures in front of us. I tell them, like, imagine your eyes are closed and all you see is a gray screen. And all of a sudden, the movie starts playing. The movie of your life. What do you see? What are you seeing? What are you feeling when you see what your life has been like? You know what I mean? And then it starts bringing up the emotions, and then it starts becoming real. And how important is it that we have a daily mindfulness or some kind of meditation routine somewhere in our day?
I love that. I loved everything you just explained. And I'm obviously a huge advocate of meditation and mindfulness. I think that it's beyond extremely important. The way that the monks used to say it is like, look, every day you go to sleep and every day you eat, right? Every day you should meditate. And it shouldn't be a negotiable. You're not going to negotiate whether you're going to eat today. You're just going to eat because that's how your body functions. Well, your mind, your body, and your soul all are going to be better off in a more healthy place and stronger, more focused, more clear, healthier in every sense if you meditate. And so it was what they really instilled in us was it wasn't just discipline. There was discipline, of course. I mean, living as a monk is very disciplined. But it was get out of the mindset that this is something that, you know, you're taking your time to do and you could be doing something else. It's like, no, when I wake up, I meditate. Before I go to sleep, I meditate. Whatever the timing for you is, it's now a part of your existence. And in cultures in the past, that is the case. The stories left behind, the scriptures left behind, the teachings, the everything is, it's so amazing. It's so beautiful. If you look at almost any spiritual practice, religious practice, you just see what deep connection looks like and talks about the Tao, Zen, all these different things. You just, they talk about this. Even in the Bible, you know, the peace that passeth all understanding. You look across the board and they talk about this deep sense of serenity, of peace, of happiness, of joy, of bliss. They call it bliss. I mean, imagine living in a place of bliss. And I think most of us are so disconnected that we don't even really understand what that word is. But imagine just living every moment in a place of just pure joy, just pure joy. And those are deep states to get to, but mindfulness is a way to help us identify those states. And meditation is a way to help identify those states and understand that, hey, behind this fog of the mind or the ego, behind this constant thought machine, emotion maker, all these things, is this just sense of awareness. This, as I call it, what I teach is, think about it like a video camera. The video camera is always on. It's simply aware. We have a video camera that's been there since we were 5, 10, 15, 20, so on and so forth. That's never changed. It's just been intaking the world around us. It does not judge. It doesn't have emotions. It doesn't have thoughts. It's the thing that is aware that we have emotions, that we have thoughts, that we have all of these things, that we have a physical body, but it's not those things. And that its natural state is peace. Its natural state is calm and creativity and all these things that beget. It begets creativity. It begets a much better life. And so I would say it's of the utmost importance for health, mental health, physical health, spiritual health, but just life in general.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, I know how I feel afterwards. You know, 5 minutes. I mean, 5 minutes. Take 5 minutes. You know what I mean? You don't. It's not about whom. You know, all this stuff. Like, you remain quiet. You know, whatever. You know, get a visual script. The Headspace app is a great app for mindfulness guided meditations. I use the Headspace app. I love it. I know a lot of the other people that I recommend it to absolutely love the Headspace app. But I've never met a pissed off monk. Not one time in my life.
That's funny.
So, I don't know if you have, but I've never met out there rampaging on people. You know what I mean? So, I mean, they're pretty self-aware. You know what I mean? And they're pretty mindful of their emotions, of their thoughts and feelings and beliefs. And, I mean, like, they're in tune, man. They're in tune. But it's a daily practice. Like you said, they practice this all the time.
Absolutely. And, you know, something that really hit me when I was at the ashram was one of the monks said, everyone here, whether it's you or it's one of the monks or anything, we're all human. This is this is almost a spiritual hospital. So don't put us on some pedestal. Because we're not. This is much more about learning to be mindful, learning to live a life consciously. It's not about being more than, better than someone else. So every time you put someone on a pedestal, you're disconnecting, you're separating yourself from reaching that. And it's very attainable for all of us. So it was that really, I connected with that a lot, because some of the monks, yes, I mean, they reach some really deep places and it's profound to even be in their presence. But other monks are just, they seem like normal dudes, you know, they say that there's a quote that goes, a saint is a sinner who never gave up. That's it. They just got up one more time, then they got knocked down. And I think each and every one of us have that potential, each and every one of us. And that's just, where are we consciously putting our awareness? How are we practicing day-to-day mindfulness? Are we at all? And so I think it can really play a big role. And like you said, yeah, monks, monks practice a conscious existence. That's why they seem so level-headed and mindful and amazing.
Yeah. So what's been the best part about your transformation so far?
Oh, I don't think I've ever been asked that question. That's a good one. The best part about my transformation, I would say, is perspective, maybe. Perspective in life, my perspective of myself, my perspective of relationship, my perspective of the world, of possibility, my belief system, all of those shifted, every single one of them. And it went from a drudgery of existence suffocated feeling to feeling like anything was possible and feeling that freedom. And that was allowed through reframing that, hey, this is possible, through experiencing certain things in meditation that opened my consciousness, that opened my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Learning the monks' belief systems and the depths of their beliefs were just unbelievably beautiful, unbelievably deep and amazing. And creating that as a part of my perspective is a bedrock to operate on it, bedrock to interact with people, to have relationship with. And then it's just been, I believe that when I bring that to these conversations that we're having now, to when I interact with people, I'm able to bring something different to the table than an unconscious conversation. And just, you know, I'm able to bring my highest self first, my most authentic self, to a conversation, as opposed to not even knowing who that is. And like I said earlier, I think a lot of people just don't know as much. And so, yeah, that's the gift that we offer to everyone is who we truly are. I believe that's a gift. And I believe that when we do that, we give other people the permission to do the, hey, it's okay. It's okay if it doesn't vibe with everyone also. Some people just aren't going to vibe with you. That's cool. But as long as you show up, you're doing a service to others if you show up, you know, with your whole self in that pleasant space.
Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. You know, most people, you know, they see the social medias and like, well, this guy's, you know, amazing, crushing it, you know, whatever, but they don't see the struggle. And I like to highlight that. So what has been the worst part about your transformational journey so far?
That's very true. It's understanding that, you know, if you go to the four stages of looking, we at the beginning we're unconscious, or we think we're competent, right? We think we're almost naively like, oh, I'm going to destroy this market, or I'm going to destroy meditation, I'm going to do amazing at it, and then hits the, you know, more or less the reality of, okay, I didn't know what I didn't know. And so I think coming to terms with, hey, no matter what we do in life, for me, what I didn't know was I ignorantly started a meditation practice thinking I was going to reach these deep states of consciousness tomorrow. And while I do believe that's possible for people, like I don't ever, like I said, I deeply believe in infinite possibility. I think that the majority of people, and some meditation teachers will say even the more beautiful path, is the slow sinking deeper into your authentic self, the slow process. But the ego, aka Harry, didn't like that. It rocked my world. It was kind of like a, hey, bud, this might take you your entire life. This is a practice for your entire life, but I wasn't looking at it as like a day-to-day practice. I was looking at it like, I want to reach the end goal now. And that made me think about only the finish line and not the journey. And a philosopher, Zen guy, Alan Watts, I'm not sure if you've heard of him.
Who is it? Say it again. You were breaking,
Alan
you were
Watts.
Breaking up for a second. Alan Watts.
Oh, sorry about
that. Yeah, you were breaking up.
Yeah, Alan Watts.
Alan Watts, okay.
Yeah, and Alan Watts, he says, you know, there's two ways to look at life. One of them is as a race. And whether it's a marathon or a sprint, whatever, there's a finish line you're trying to get to. And then you've won. And then you've finished. And then there's the perspective of a musician or a dancer. And how often do you see musicians play finish or dancers dance to be done? No, it's about the exact moment they're in, creating art, creating this beautiful thing that people become entranced with in the moment and letting creativity guide their way. So you can be the person running the race trying to finish, or you can be the person enjoying each moment and creating this amazing artistic masterpiece with your life. Mm-hmm. And so I was running. It always felt like I wasn't enough. It felt like my meditation wasn't enough. It felt like no matter what I did, it wasn't enough. And so behind the scenes of starting consciously, behind the scenes of doing everything I did, there was always kind of this lack of being in a place of I'm enough. And even when we start practicing mindfulness, even when we are in a place of health, that doesn't mean that that mentality changes. It means that it's a part of the journey. It's a part of, mm-hmm. we still need to come to terms with our emotions. And like you said, bringing up the emotions of life, bringing up who we are, who we were, and sinking into that, I thought was just going to go away when I started meditating. And in reality, it actually did the exact opposite. It brought it to the surface so that I could release it, so that I could allow it to go away. But, you know, they say at the ashram, if you pray for something to be, you know, taken away, rid me of this habits or my addiction, whatever it is, it mm-hmm. better be ready, because the way that they put it in your face so that you can get rid of it. No one's going to do it for you. You're the one who needs to do it. Now, yes, is there support through that? Absolutely. Is there a lot of beautiful and amazing things as a result of meditation? Yes, and it helps immensely. But you're still the one that has to do it. Going back to that first moment,
right.
I'm the one who has to find out. I'm the one who has to take action, and that goes for healing as well. Enlightened person after a day, I had a little pop, we'll put it that way.
Wow. So let's talk about some of your influencers that have influenced you in your journey and in the way that you think and feel and believe. Talk about some of the influencers that you've met along the way, or maybe you watch, you know, Gary Vee or Tony Robbins, some of the famous guys, but just quickly talk about some of the influencers that you've had in your life.
I would say some of them are not alive today. So Yogananda, who's the one who found SRF in the ashram, that absolutely has had a deep impact on my life. Gandhi, I always resonated with Gandhi. He was big for me, so I read his book. And people alive, one of the monks at the ashram, I'll call him Brother I, because I'm not supposed to divulge all their names and whatnot. They're very secretive with their stuff. But Brother I was, his perspective on life and his presence was just, if you just silenced yourself enough to feel his stillness, was absolutely profound. And that's what taught me that in stillness and in silence, there is everything. Silence is not silent if you sit in it long enough. Stillness can open the door to deeper parts of yourself. And just his presence, not even meditating here, which I have, but just his day-to-day, moment-to-moment presence and state of consciousness was such a lesson, such a teacher. He had a big impact on me. He was also my counselor when I was at the ashram, so that was a double thumbs up there. And more famous influencers today, I'm not sure if you're aware of Michael Singer, who wrote The Unanswered Soul.
Yep.
Michael Singer. It's funny enough, this monk that I lived with actually grew up with Michael Singer, And so their perspectives are really similar with their meditation style. Actually, the autobiography of a yogi, which was Yogananda's book, this monk gave to Michael Singer. So they've both had big impacts on each other's spiritual journeys. So Michael Singer has been a big one. Eckhart Tolle, I think, is absolutely brilliant. The one who wrote The Power of Now, as I read through different books on mindfulness, on meditation, on spirituality, and all these things, I don't want to say I can tell, and I know who's in type thing, but there's a depth to a few of their work, and I definitely think that Eckhart Tolle is in a very deep place. I think that his work is real, and not that other people's isn't. I think that he swims in a deeper ocean, a deeper part of the ocean than most teach today.
Yeah.
So I love his stuff. I love Singer's stuff. Those two have had big impacts on me.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you sharing that. So what are some of the resources that you have used, up to this point or just continue to use?
That's a good question. I learned my meditation techniques through self-realization fellowship. In its teachings. So if religion's not your thing, I vibe with people. But if it is, maybe it's the perfect thing for someone. But that had a big impact on me. I don't really consider myself religious. I consider myself a very spiritual person. So that's been huge. Nutritionally, because we also teach plant-based nutrition, and nutritionally, there's a few doctors that I follow quite a bit, and I think stuff's really good. One is Dr. Joel Fuhrman, and he has his own thing called the Nutritarian Diet, and I really like his perspective on things. He's a cardiologist, and his dad died as a result of heart disease, so he kind of was, his message is pure about trying to help people like his dad, and a couple other doctors, or not doctor, but PhD Colin Campbell, the one who wrote the China study. I think his work's really amazing, and I just like listening to him. There's a lot of wisdom. He's already 80 something in his journey and his studies and his practice.
Wow.
So yeah, I would say SRF on the side of meditation, and like I said,
sure.
if you read Eckhart Tolle and Michael Singer, their stuff as well, and Dr. Fuhrman, Dr. Campbell are really good resources for nutrition.
Oh, that's perfect, man. Perfect. So what do you enjoy most about what you do? Specifically, I'm curious, because you're an online and in-person wellness startup and a speaker, So, I mean, what is it that you do, that you enjoy most?
I would say I love speaking. I love sharing my story, mostly because I love if anyone can just be like, oh, I get that, or I understand, or, oh, that's a good perspective. Just that little bit of opening and maybe offering a little bit of a different perspective to someone. And that comes through a lot of the coaching that we do as well. We did a lot of in-person coaching before we started consciously because the crowd and be more influential. And so when we put together consciously, we've had people in Brazil and Canada and the U.S. and all these places, and the feedback gotten from, hey, just this one meditation I had, like I experienced this really deep thing. I almost don't even know what to call it. And then we'll have that conversation. And now they're going forward with a deeper understanding of themselves with an experiential understanding of themselves and not just conceptually, hey, this thing exists. No, now they've experienced it. And I actually had that the other day. Someone talked about this deep meditation they had. And I mean, some people don't have that, what she described, for years and years. So that was huge. I mean, that just so lit up my heart. It was amazing that just through offering my experience, she was able to step into this deep place. So that was, it's the connecting with people and offering maybe that there's something deeper, maybe there's something more, and maybe that they can achieve it, and then helping them do that.
That's awesome, man. Again, man, thank you for sharing. Like, it, man, I'm resonating with like so much stuff, you know, that you're saying, because I think when you put it on people, right? I mean, you're not chasing money. Like, money is just a byproduct of the amazing stuff that you're doing. But when you really hone in on someone's transformation, and they go from not believing to, I don't know how I lived in that negative state, is just amazing to me. You know, like
yeah,
my life has value because I made them believe in themselves. You know what I mean? Like, because, you know, you and I are cut from the same cloth, man. I mean, we're both drinkers, both partiers, both, you know, going down roads that led nowhere, literally. You know, we go through these moments that put our lives on down this journey, down this path that we never thought we were going to go down. I mean, at 18, you were like, I'm not going to go to a temple. Like, that's not what? You know what I mean? Like, you weren't thinking about that stuff at 18, 19, you know what I mean? But here we are, you know, inspiring people. So talk about where you're headed now in business, professional, personal life, you know. Talk about what you got coming up.
Yeah, so right now we launched Consciously last year, and so we're really trying to brand awareness, build, helping people understand who we are, our journey, which is holistic health, which is approaching health from, hey, there's more pieces to the puzzle than just one avenue. So nutrition is a big avenue. If we're only working on the emotions or the mindset all the time, we're eating pizza and chips and cake all the time, we're shooting the foot. And so we're big on get your health in order, get your nutritional health in order, your physical body's health in order. And then we have a meditation program, and we teach, hey, to step into understanding who you are experientially on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
You're not emotions. Yeah. How do we utilize those? How can we step back into those? Because they're going to be there. You know, I think one of the big misconceptions of meditation is that those things disappear. They do not disappear. I don't want to say never, because I'm sure for meditators of 50 plus years, they do. But what separates a monk, you know, from the average person is they just have learned to utilize mind as a tool, affirmations, visualizations, different things like that, instead of being identified with it and driven by it. So it's a great tool. It's a horrible master. So that is, we do that as well. That's another piece of the puzzle. And then finding your purpose, finding your passions, pursuing those, and finding out how to do that. And that's, you know, on the coaching, on the one-on-one coaching side of things. My partner, Melanie McDaniel at Consciously and in Life, she does a lot of healing work, a lot of emotional work, a lot of energy work. And she can get as woo-woo as you want or as not woo-woo as you want. And she one-on-one takes people through this large journey of working through emotions, through breathing through emotions and eyes deep. Her program is actually called A Layer Deeper. And it's amazing. I mean, she helps me. She had me crying a couple of weeks ago with some stuff. So it's a continued journey for us all. And then I do one-on-one coaching, and I like to call it spirit coaching. And that's just, how do I utilize my deepest self, my most, I don't want to say enlightened, but enlightened self, my enthusiastic, adventurous, if anything possible, what if self, how do I bring them to the fore? How do I start to bring them out, realize them, and from there? And so that's the
right
coaching that I do as well. And then just building up the speed stuff that we're doing in the mastermind and other things, and starting to speak around the country and having fun with that and getting in front of crowds and just speaking that message of what if, you know, and let's bring wonder back into our lives. It definitely doesn't hurt, and it can maybe open up a door. Something I like to really drive home is step into this place.
Mm-hmm.
What if listening to this conversation, we'll just use that as an example, could literally change your life. That's a mindset. That's being open to what if. If I'm not open to that, then I'm subconsciously or consciously closing myself off to a possible transformation.
Right?
One action, one activity that I do has the potential to open up doors that I never even knew were there. Speaking is step possibility of what if, and work from there. Why not, right? Why not? And I think a lot of people have been through a lot of hard stuff. You know, why do we need to consistently be there? Why do we need to be in that energy, that vibration? Well, we know it's there, and a lot of us know how to deal with it in some way or another. So let's step into a more infinite realm of possibilities so that we can start to create something else. And so, yeah, that's all those put together. That's where we're headed. We're heading into a future of building our brand, helping people find their health through different avenues, understanding that it's not just one small area. Your health is holistic. It is a whole life health, and just helping spread the message, that message.
Right. Perfect. That's nailed it. I was just going to go like, so give us a shameless plug, man. Give us, but you already did. So, dude, I love it, man. It's almost like you know what I'm going to ask, but give us the website, I'm blown away, dude. I love your message, man. So give us a shameless plug, man. You know, plug your friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, your favorite movie, whatever you want to plug. Like, I mean, you already talked about your message, but really, like, what is it that you want people to know about you, about your mission? You know, how are they connecting with you? Stuff like that, man. Shameless plug.
Well, I love it. And I think you step into being vulnerable and more authentic. I feel like I've put that on the table already, and to drive it home, the shameless plug at the end is, honestly, if you are interested in learning more about holistic health, about something that you might not be as familiar with, or something you just want a little guidance on, check out our website. Go to Consciously, a nutrition program called Consciously Nutritious, a meditation program called Consciously Meditating. And then we actually have a wellness program. So if you're a business owner and you want us to come into your company and bring this as a wellness package, as a company wellness package, we can do that as well. And so we're really just trying to get out there and to help people step into this lifestyle. The one-on-one coaching, if you're interested in that, if you're interested in my spirit coaching, you're interested in Melanie's Layer Deeper program, which honestly I highly suggest. I obviously suggest mine as well, but hers is nothing short of profound.
Right.
Just go to the contact us on our website and email and just say, hey, looking to talk to Melanie about the Layer Deeper program. We don't have that up on the web together now, though.
Say it again.
Keeping the
art. You broke up. You broke up a little bit. You don't what?
We don't have the individual program, so my program and her program, on the website as of right now. We've been trying to keep them separate, but we think we're going to bring them in. So you can just contact us through there. We got Facebook's kind of weird. We're learning about it, and we've been on there for a little while, but our Facebook page really isn't the place to be for us. Like, we'll post some stuff on there, but our Consciously Community group, private community, so you have access to come in, but we're very sharing and open, so you'll be let in. That's where we really, you know, we do different things, and we're getting up and running. We're going to be doing meditations every full moon. We're going to be doing some cool stuff. We're actually headed to a healer's retreat right now. That's why I'm sitting in my car on the side of the road right now. And that's going to be a beautiful and amazing time. So we're going to share all of our experiences there. It's very much our family, our community of, hey, let's have a deeper conversation in the open so everyone here can and find that out. And so that's, I think those are the best places to find us. And we're, you know, anything you want to know or learn, just go to our Facebook or go to our website, contact us, and we're here and we're open. We're a platform for people to change their lives. And that's what we are going to continue to be for years and years to come.
There you go. I love it, man. So as we close the show, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
That's condensing everything into a nugget of knowledge. I would say that you... Yeah, well, here's my try. Here's my roll of the dice. You are the one that you've been waiting for. No one else. No teacher, no peer, no person other than yourself. You are the one that you've been waiting for. You are the only one that can ever take action. So whatever your heart tells you to do, whatever that intuition inside is saying, try it out. Because if it doesn't work, then you're learning. But if you don't try it out, you're never going to learn. And failure is 10 steps above never trying at all. So take action. Go the distance. Live your dreams. If you need help, I'm here. Sean's here. But you're the one that you've been waiting for. So pick yourself up and start moving.
Awesome, dude. Man, that's awesome. So we always end the show with a call to action. So what should someone do today? Maybe set a goal, plan something, write in a journal, whatever. Like, what would be your definitive call to action that they can do today?
Find out in some way, shape, or form how you can learn about meditation and start applying it. So whether that's consciously, whether that's reading one of those books that we mentioned earlier, meditation can be anything you make it. It doesn't need to be spiritual or new age. Simple breathing presence practice, but the power that it has to transform your life is limitless. So find out how to meditate. Like you said, go to the call map. There's a lot of different places to do it. But do that. That's a huge call to action.
Awesome. Dude, man, appreciate your wisdom and sharing your story. And about mindfulness, I think that people, like you said before, you know, a little woo-woo, not so much woo-woo. Like, you know, they hear about, you know, meditations and stuff. Like, oh, geez, got to get the essential oils out and get the candles and, you know, got to sit in a certain position and woo-woo it out. You know, it's not even that, man. Like, I literally sit at the end of my bed and I just close my eyes and I concentrate on breathing and I concentrate on what I'm feeling inside and what I'm, you know, thinking about and, you know, and it just, I just declutter, you know, I mean, you have thousands of thoughts a day, you know, and so we just need to declutter, man, and connect with ourselves wholly, you know, heart, mind, body, spirit, like the whole thing, man, has to be all in alignment. So thank you so much for the knowledge and wisdom that you shared today, man. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you hitting me on and just to, you know, touch on that. It's so true. It's so true. There's a different meditation for everyone out there. So if woo-woo stuff turns you off, don't do them. If it's something you love, do it. You know, but find a way to do it. I had a great time, Sean. I'm so glad that you're doing this. These conscious conversations, I think, have such an infinite potential to open people's eyes and change perspective and to make some true change in the world. So I appreciate you having me on and that you do this in the first place.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. We will talk to you very soon. And I'll see you in the group.
Sounds good.
I'll see you in our group.
Yep. Thank you.
Perfect. Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing episode, impactful guest. If anything that Harry has said today resonated with you, check out his website, consciously.org. Look him up on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. He is not a hard guy to find. If you've ever wanted to try a mindfulness or meditation practice, if you want to see what it's all about, look it up. It is not hard to do. It's easier than you think, but you got to get with guys like Harry who know what they're talking about, who live this stuff every day. And he's going to help you. So please go to consciously.org and look up Harry Sherwood. So before we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you have deep in your heart. And I call that living your brand. And until next episode, have a great night.